Good morning. I want to talk to you about something very serious this morning, and that is our salvation. From what I can tell reading in the scriptures, there's nothing more important than the salvation of our soul. You exist primarily as a soul. We just get involved in this human life because we have a human body. But the most important thing is our soul. According to Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7, our body will turn to dust, but our soul returns to God who made it. So I'm going to write way up here so everybody can see it, that the existence of God has been proven true in many, many ways. And so we're talking about God the Father. We're talking about Jesus. And we're talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, in amongst all of this, God, of course, created mankind. He even created Artie. Just to be inclusive. Just so that you'll know, Artie. All right, so, but the thing about mankind is that we have a proclivity to sin. Now, what does that mean? We do things incorrectly before God. And the thing is, according to Romans 3 and verse 23, everybody has sinned. Your mom, your dad, you, your siblings, so forth and so on. Lying, stealing, not paying attention to God, being evil, cursing. There's just a number of things that people do that cuts us off or separates us from God. So we see Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But also that Isaiah 59 and verse 2 tells us that we are separated from God because of our sins. Now, in that, if we die in that state, we will either, if we die in the state of sin, sins charged against our soul, that there will be hell for us. It's described various ways in the pages of the New Testament. You've got a burning lake of fire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm does not die, so forth and so on. It's just several horrible pictures about hell. But those who come to Jesus have the opportunity to end up in heaven. Now, you can go back to just a really common verse that just about everybody knows. John 3 and verse 16. God the Father gave his only earthborn son, begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, how do we get this little thing in here working for us? How is it that we come to Jesus and that we have heaven in front of us? Well, number one, I'm going to write this over here so you can read it better. Number one, a person obviously has to have trust in Jesus. Now, John 8 and verse 24 has this: unless you believe that I am he, you will certainly die in your sins. So what does it mean to believe in Jesus, to have faith in Jesus? Well, part of that definition means trust in Jesus, that Jesus is who he says he is, and that Jesus can save your soul. All right, so that's part of the faith idea. The other part is that Jesus really is the Lord of your life. If you die in your sins, you will face judgment where Jesus is going to be your judge. And he will admit you either to heaven or you will be cast into hell. So he is both Lord and Christ, which means that as Christ, the Messiah, the word means anointed one, that he is the one who has come to earth to take care of man's sins so that man is no longer separated from God. So we got to have that. We got to have faith. The next thing that we believe or have to do for salvation, and by the way, faith is found in Romans 10 and verse 17. Faith only comes by understanding God's word. All right, so if we can read and understand, and just about everybody here can, so the next thing that we have to do is repent. And that means that we've got to change the way that we live. We can't continue sinning. We've got to stop sin, and we've got to start living a life that is inclusive of God. You've got to do life the way that God wants you to do life. It's not up to you to decide what God wants. It's not up to you emotionally to decide what it is that you want from religion. It is entirely dependent upon what God says to you about religion. It's not up to your mind. People have the wrong idea about so many things that are Bible knowledge that is absolutely the truth, but for one reason or another, some people go too far, as in 2 John 9, and they get things messed up about religion. And so Luke 13:3 will tell you about this. And Jesus, in his own word, says, unless you repent, you will die in your sins. And that's not what we want. You do not want to go to hell. So, if we repent, that is, live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, the next thing that relates to our salvation is confession. Oop, I can write that. Confession. And what is it that we're confessing? Confessing. Romans 10, 9 through 10. We are confessing that Jesus is, of course, my Lord, your Lord, our Lord, and that he is the Christ, the Savior of the world. And then after that, one must be baptized for the removal of sin. Baptized means to be fully immersed in water. And it means that as you come up out of the water, that you receive new life. You're no longer the old person of sin, but you're the new person of a saint in Jesus. When you are baptized, let's put down Acts 22 and verse 16. Wash away your sins. When you are baptized, you are automatically, so to speak, Jesus does this, adds you to his church. Whose church is it? It's Jesus' church. It is the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Romans 16:16 calls it the churches of Christ greet you. So that church of Christ name is descriptive of who owns the church. Now listen to me very carefully. Jesus adds you to not just any church, but his church. And the thing is about this baptism, it's got to be for the remission of sins. You can't just go somewhere and say, oh, I believe in baptism, and somebody puts you under the water or sprinkles water on you or pours water on you or makes the sign of the cross with water on your forehead, it's got to be for the remission of sins. That's the only reason in terms of salvation that baptism works. It's for the remission of sins. That means to have your sins washed away. You're no longer going to have those sins. And then you live righteously because of your repentance earlier. You're going to live righteously before God. Righteous living. This is super important. If you don't get these steps down, and these are all biblical, I've given you biblical evidence for these things to, so that you'll know. If you don't get these things down, you will by no means enter heaven. You get that? That means that from what the scriptures have to say, and I'm not judging anybody, what I'm telling you is the truth of the scriptures, that you will be in hell when judgment day arrives. If you don't get this right, you will miss heaven. Super important. All right. So, in about 20 years after Jesus' ascension into heaven, there were issues. There were people who were giving and teaching incorrect information about Jesus, about God's word. There were people called the Gnostics who said that Jesus was born only as a human and that he was imbued with the spirit of Jesus while he lived upon this earth. And just before Jesus died at the crucifixion, that the spirit of Jesus left. And so the person who died on the cross is just a human being. That's not the truth. And we have a lot of mismatched biblical activities that are going on in our country and around the world without the knowledge and without the truth of what God has to say. Once again, it's not about our emotions. It's not about what we think. It's not about what we feel. It's not what we attest to. It is only what God has to say. Your brain does not tell God what is necessary for salvation. God tells your brain. It's not your heart that tells God what salvation is all about. It is what God says to your heart that makes true salvation. So if you will turn with me then in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's begin reading in verse 1. Now here's 2 John 9. Let me go ahead and read the verse as you're turning in your Bibles. Anyone who goes, what's the next two words? Too far and does not stay in the teaching or Jesus's teaching about salvation. That's what that means. It's not the teaching about Jesus. It's the teaching of Jesus. Jesus's teaching. Anyone who goes too far and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Did you get that? And for all of your religious thoughts, if you do not have God, where is it that you're going to end up? Well, you already know the answer to that. We've been talking about that. So if you do not have God, that means that you're not going to heaven. And you need the truth in order to go to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The one who abides in the teaching, he has both the Father and the Son. Now, if you have both the Father and the Son, if you have them, then you are going to be saved. That's the huge point that John, as he's writing this epistle, is making in 2 John. All right, so here's 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. Why? Why will there be difficult times? Number two, what are the last days? We are living in the last days ever since Jesus was crucified. For people will be lovers of self. That's self. I get to declare what religion is. Lovers of money. It's all about this world and everything I can get. Boastful. This is what I think God is talking to me. Arrogant. This is what I think God is talking to me. Slanderers. Disobedient to parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. That is, not living a life that is attuned with God. Unloving. Irreconcilable, that is, not loving God, you know. Irreconcilable, that is, you can preach to them until you're blue in the face, and they will not accept what God has to say. They are malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, they may hold to a pattern of godliness, although they have denied its power. And Paul the Apostle says, avoid such people as these. If you were to turn the page in your Bible to the 4th chapter, beginning in verse 1, I solemnly exhort you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach not what I think, not what I believe, not what I want to say of my own volition, but it is that a preacher must preach the word, that is God's word, be ready in season and out of season, correct people when they're wrong, rebuke people and tell them that they're wrong, and exhort people, that is, you've got to do it God's way, with great patience and instruction, which is what we're doing this morning. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine. You ever heard the phrase, he is sound in both body and mind, which means healthy, right? So healthy doctrine, good doctrine, is the doctrine that gets you to heaven, not the doctrine that you may come up with on your own. For time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers that they want to listen to in accordance with their own desires. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and will turn aside to myths. All right. So, Acts 20 in verse 28 through 32. Acts 20, 28 through 32. Please turn with me in your Bibles. It's very important that you get this information down. In the church that belongs to Jesus, it consists of a scripturally organized church, let me put it that way, consists of elders, those who oversee the church and make sure that sound doctrine is being preached. There are deacons who help the church and the elders accomplish those things. And then there are saints. That is, everybody who is a Christian is a saint. Everybody who is a Christian is a saint. You can get this in Philippians 1 and verse 1. All right. So, here we are in Acts 20, and let's begin reading in verse 28. Paul the Apostle says, be on guard for yourselves, elders, and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd that is to guide, to feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, that is Jesus's blood.
I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them.
Therefore, be on the alert, remembering that night and day, for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one of you with tears. And now I entrust you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified, that is, Christians. All right. Romans 16, please. Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16, the Apostle Paul has a lot to say about people who go too far, just as the Apostle John. Beginning in verse 17. Romans chapter 16, beginning in verse 17.
How important is the doctrine of God? How important is the teaching of God? Well, I'll tell you. Now I urge you, brothers and sisters, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and heresies, or hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. Now, that's pretty serious business. For such people are slaves, not of our Lord Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. For the report of your obedience has reached everyone. Therefore, I am rejoicing over you, but I want you to be wise in what is good and innocent in what is evil.
So some people go past the teaching of the New Testament. That is a truth 20 years after Jesus' ascension, and it's true 2,000 years hence in our own day and time. Some people go past the teaching of Jesus. If you were to take a look at John chapter 6 in verse 38, John chapter 6 and verse 38, it's real important that you get this. Jesus says, by his own words, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me."
So Jesus didn't make up his own words. Jesus didn't come for his own purposes. He didn't come here to tell you what he thought. He came to earth to save sinners by the truth of God's word.
So that's where we are today. Now take a look at Matthew chapter 7, please. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning in verse 21.
If you think you're religious, please get these three verses down. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." By the way, when you get a repeated word in scriptures, that's kind of like boldface in our print today. That's a super emphasis. Not only do you call on the Lord once, but you call on the Lord twice. It's very emphatic. "Will enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does what you think, what you feel, what you think religion ought to be. No. It's only dependent upon doing what God wills. That is the truth of the gospel. "Many will say to me on that day," that is the day of judgment, "Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name?" Well, you would think that would be a good thing. And it goes on to say, "And in your name, didn't we cast out demons?" Well, don't you think that's a good thing? "And in your name, perform many miracles." Well, don't you think that's a pretty awesome sort of thing? But here's what Jesus says in rebuttal to that. I will declare to them, I don't know who you are. Leave me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't care what God's law is. I'm going to make up my own religion. And this is what I'm going to do. And this is how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to collect many people, as many as I can, to follow me with this erroneous doctrine, because I think this is the way religion ought to be. But Jesus says, if you don't do it God's way, you're going to lose your soul. Take a look at Romans chapter 2, please. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Romans chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. Now listen. Listen to the contrast that's given in these verses. Do you think lightly of the riches of God, the riches of his kindness and restraint and patience? You see, sin does that. Sin always leaves you heartbroken. Seems like fun at first, but you'll end up in tears and your soul will be lost to hell unless you get it right. So, God is being super patient with you. God is being super patient with me, and he's being patient with everyone that's living in this community. That the kindness of God leads to repentance. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, that's deep down inside of you, the heart that will not repent of doing things my own way, it will not repent and turn to God's way of things, an unrepentant heart, what are you doing? What's the result? You're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Wrath. You ever had a wrathful parent? You ever had a wrathful teacher? You ever had a wrathful policeman? You ever had a wrathful spouse? It's no fun to experience wrath. It says here in verse 6, the judgment of God who will repay each person according to his deeds. To those who by perseverance, that means you got to keep on doing it, in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality. That's what God is going to give you. If you make it to heaven, you're going to receive glory. If you make it to heaven, you're going to receive honor. If you make it to heaven, you're going to receive immortality. That means you'll never die. He will give eternal life. But to those who are serving themselves and will not, do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, that is, not what God says, but what their own selves say, he will give wrath and indignation. There will be tribulation and distress for every soul of mankind who does evil. For the Jew first, and also for the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who does what is good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or Gentile. For there is no partiality with God.